Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
So I wanted to get to this story yesterday on the show, but we had so many great phone calls coming in covering so many different topics that I never got to it. The audio of the Crow tribal chairman testifying before Congress about how the Mexican drug cartels are targeting the reservations, and he had a lot more to say during that congressional testimony as well. But then I also, when I went to look at the video, to watch the video, I rewound the tape on the YouTube video. I know that's not a technical, accurate term. But anyway, I rewound the YouTube video, and I was like, wait a minute. There is Stacy Zinn, the incredible former head of the DEA here in Montana, who is also now the recently elected vice chair of the Montana GOP. And so anyways, it's great. We've got Stacy Zinn in studio with us here today to talk about her testimony and the Crow tribal chairman's testimony as well. But first, before we get into all these serious topics of the day, Stacy, you just saw the video about an hour and a half ago. You know, we're in the top floor of the DoubleTree Hotel in Billings, so the second tallest building in downtown Billings, and we just had a flyby of the tower. A hot air balloon came right next to our. You saw the video, right?
That was so cool, and I was watching the video, and I'm like, is he going to deliver proof donuts? I mean, what's going on here?
Yeah, exactly. We should have him do that. Just throw him over the railing here. But it was funny. So I actually just spoke with Andy Samuelson, who's the pilot of that Riverton, Wyoming hot air balloon, because the Big Sky Balloon rally it just started today. It'll go for the next 3 days. So maybe we'll get another flyby here. But yeah, this was our plan. We wanted to get close. But he said, as they were literally passing, they must have been on like the 15th floor, the 20th floor, or probably around 15th floor, I'm thinking, because we saw the top of the balloon from here. But he said, people in their hotel rooms were waving at them, and they were waving at the hotel rooms. And
that's super cool.
It was just hilarious. So I posted some photos and the full video, x.com/AaronFlint right now. And then later today, I'll post the audio with the pilot talking about, you know, about the flyby of the tower. It was an incredible Top Gun moment.
That is just neat to see that we're able to do that here in the city. That's so unexpected, but yeah, it brings smiles to everyone.
Oh yeah, so fun. And it's just the beauty of this state. It's just a cool thing to see the hot air balloons. It's a magnificent thing to see no matter where you are in Montana, but then to have them fly by right next to you. Plus, I've been all excited this week. I shared a photo of when I was in the back seat of the jet with the Blue Angels, because our friend Jake Penwell and Matthew McDonald with the Yellowstone International Air Show, you know, the Blue Angels are coming back to Montana next summer for America's 250th birthday. But we're doing an incredible Blue Angels package as part of the auction for Warrior Taste Fest, benefiting Warriors and Quiet Waters, that's coming up in September in Bozeman. So I'm just so fired up about that. So it was like, man, I'm pumped up for the Blue Angels. I'm pumped up for Warrior Taste Fest. Then I got Maverick over there doing a flyby of the tower. Let's roll, baby.
Absolutely. Woo. Absolutely.
All right. We'll get into the serious topics. Stacy's in. Stand by. Back right after this.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so I follow CNN on Facebook. Not that CNN. I follow the Crow Nation News on Facebook. And, you know, you come across some fun information at times, some interesting information, serious information. But they featured a video of the chairman of the Crow tribe, Chairman White Clay, testifying before Congress earlier this week. I think it was just Tuesday. He thanked Congress for backing the Crow Revenue Act. He talked about the need for more BIA officers on the reservation. He talked about how Mexican drug cartels are targeting Native Americans, and also how, you know, our southern border is secure now, but the northern border is being exploited by criminal elements. Anyway, I got a chance to watch his full testimony, and maybe I'll play some highlights for you here this morning as well. But also testifying at that same hearing was Stacy Zinn. Stacy, again, good to have you on the show. Tell us what, you know, kind of some of the highlights of your remarks and what you wanted to talk about, because it's important that
that we talked so much about the Mexican drug cartels and how they were targeting reservations in the last 4 years of the Biden regime. But the fact is, a lot of that criminal element still remains. So even though we're stopping the bleeding at the southern border and we're deporting a lot of these criminal illegal aliens, a lot of those problems that broke into this country are still here, still threatening these communities.
Absolutely. And good morning. What I wanted to highlight initially was the history of how the cartels had started pinpointing and going after these different types of reservation. And I wanted people to understand is that, you know, initially the Sinaloa cartel was the ones that were actually staking their claim into the Montana reservations. And I wanted to show the audience of how they distributed the drugs up here. And then now how they have adapted to law enforcement, so they changed their method of transportation and delivering. And then we started seeing the physical presence of individuals, you know, some say, oh, they're not cartel, they're linked to the cartel. Well, I don't care. It's a blanket thing. Same. So I wanted to tell the audience that this is what's going on. This is how they've been doing it, and this is the history of it. Then I wanted to talk about how the Trump administration, they're starting to focus their efforts. And I say start because we have, our country has been overrun by illegals that come across our southwest border and now are creeping into Canada and going to start creeping down that way. But they have focused they're putting the fingers in the dam, and then now they're highlighting the reservations because they know this community is being impacted by the reservations, and we need to start doing something or continue doing something about it.
Yeah. So you and I were kind of talking off air that really this conversation is a conversation that's going to need to continue, because what this conversation was about was kind of the second and third order effects of open borders and an illegal alien invasion that was allowed in the last 4 years, that was promoted in the last 4 years by the previous regime. Because right now, I mean, President Trump is stopping the bleeding. He's secured the southern border, and border, you know, illegal border crossings have basically ground to a halt there. He's working with much resistance from blue states and blue cities and far left activists who are resisting at every turn any effort to get these criminal illegal aliens out of this country. But nonetheless, being, you know, they're getting a lot of these criminal illegals out of here. Many more remain. Millions remain. And so this is a problem that we've got to get to. This is why what ICE is doing right now, what Border Patrol is doing right now, is so important to remove this threat. And of course, the ongoing efforts of, you know, folks who work for your, you know, the agency you retired from the DEA and other law enforcement agencies.
What was interesting, we were the second panel. The first panel had BIA and FBI representation. And during their discussion, we had a individual, Democratic Party, that started to throw in the Epstein file questions into the FBI head. And we're like going, wait, was Epstein on the reservations? How does this pack the reservations? So we need, I mean, when you have politics, that dialogue get into the, you know, the conversation stuff, that shame on them. This is about our communities, cleaning up our communities and helping the environment. And it's shameful that people use that as a political tool.
Yeah, well, and it just exposes how the Democrats apparently clearly don't care about the people on reservations that have been targeted by the drug cartels and have seen the impacts, you know, mothers and fathers lost. The thing that also stood out to me, what the Crow Tribal chairman talked about, he talked about missing and murdered indigenous women. And if I remember right, he basically said that he sees the Crow Reservation as ground zero for the missing and murdered indigenous women problem, which has been a crisis, you know, all across the West and in Montana. But he said that the majority of the cases that they've investigated come down to drug cases. Okay, so the drug cartels are targeting the reservations. The majority of the missing and murdered indigenous women cases apparently are tied to drug cases. But you notice how most in the media never link the two. It's, you get nothing but virtue signaling and red painted hand marks over faces. But when it really comes down to boots on the ground dealing with this threat, they never link the two.
Well, let's just have honest conversations now. Now that this has been highlighted, we highlighted last year, we highlighted again just a day before yesterday. Now it's time for for people to take action. And what do I mean by that? It's not only law enforcement's responsibility, but it's also the community's responsibility. People need to start educating their loved ones of the dangers. People on the reservation also needs to start standing up and saying enough is enough. If you see something, you say something. If you see out-of-state cars with Washington plates and individuals that don't look like they belong there, start saying thing. Now, who do they reach out to? You start reaching out to the tribal chairman and associates and start saying, enough is enough. We want this cleaned up, and we can help each other from inside out and outside in. That's what needs to be done now.
Yeah, everybody's got to play a part. It can't just be, what can you do for us? It's got to be, hey, what can we all do in this fight? Yeah, great point. All right, stand by. And by the way, we've got the phone lines open for you. If you want to jump in on the conversation, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, let's sneak in a phone call here before we jump back into the conversation with Stacy Zinn, the former head of the DEA here in Montana, in studio with us. She, along with the Crow Tribal Chairman, both testified before a congressional subcommittee earlier this week. Tim in Billings on the phone lines. Tim, did you have a question or a comment? And thanks for your call.
Good morning, Ms. Zinn. Good morning, Aaron. Ms. Zinn was talking about how these tribal members, they should speak out. They should, you know, first reach out to their tribal leaders and things of that nature. Well, they also need to remember which politicians are poo-pooing their concerns and their complaints. Because if I recall, and I don't remember if this was a testimony in Helena, and I believe Ms. Zinn was there, if it was in Helena or if it was in D.C., but there was a Crow tribal member that was there decrying all of the efforts that the cartels were having on the reservation and all the problems they were causing. And there was a white liberal congressman or senator or representative that was basically telling that he had no idea what was going on his own reservation, what was going on in his own home. I mean, remember who is in office, who you're voting for matters. And if the political party that has been dominating your representation isn't supporting getting these cartels off the reservation, they don't care about you.
No, that's a really good point. Let's take the Crow Reservation in particular. I mean, the war on coal, which a former Crow tribal chairman said, a war on coal is a war on the Crow people, because they benefit greatly from coal on the Crow Reservation. And yet, you know, the Democrats attacked coal and launched a war on coal, which harmed economic opportunity. And then that same Democrat Party is the one that unleashed all these illegal aliens and the drug cartels in those same communities. Stacey, isn't it interesting? Well, first off, your reactions to Tim and Billings, but isn't it also interesting that Roosevelt County went for Donald J. Trump, Bighorn County went for Donald J. Trump? In fact, a lot of Native American counties all across America went for Donald J. Trump in a big way last year in 2024. And I think it's because more and more folks are just like the black Americans are blexiting the Democrat Party, so are more and more Native Americans as well.
No, that is true. Tim, thank you very much for your comments. And next time, call me Stacy. Call me Stacy anytime. With that being said, what you said and what Tim said is correct. With the individuals, with the war on coal, with the lack of those pushing back against the drug and drug cartels, there's another area, and I'm kind of coming out of left field here, is that also foreign investors coming in and starting to snoop around on the reservations and looking to buy up properties and land or figuring out how they can start coming in. And I want just people to start being aware is that the reservations are very vulnerable. They're very vulnerable because of lack of law enforcement, because of the areas that people are so spread out that the foreign influence, whether it be drug trafficking, where it be people snooping around to grow marijuana plantations, where it be people coming into buying up land under different LLCs, it is time now that people start going, you know what? This is America. This is Montana. This is our reservations, and we are going to work together as a team, regardless of the Republican, Democrat, Independent, or Greenpeace, or whoever. We are going to start taking care of of each other. And that means open dialogues. And if those dialogues are harmful, hurtful at times, so be it, as long as that the end goal is to make this a better place to live.
You know, what you just said reminds me, I've had some great conversations running into Paul Green. Paul Green was a member of the legislature. He's got a ranch in the Hardin area. He's a Navy Submariner veteran. Governor Gianforte made him the head of the Montana Department of Commerce. But, you know, he needed to be back home closer to family and back home closer to the ranch in Hardin. And so he's now the head of the Big Sky EDA, the Economic Development arm in Yellowstone County. And I think he is totally right on. And I'm really excited to see what his leadership is going to do, because, first off, he understands that the Billings economy is not downtown Billings.
Correct.
And what jobs are in Billings. The Billings economy is the regional economy. Coal strip matters. Mm-hmm. Coal mining on the Crow Reservation matters. This new rare earth mine in Ranchester, Wyoming is going to be big for Billings, Montana. And so, but he also understands that you can't solve the crime problem in Billings if you don't solve the crime problem in Bighorn County. But he also understands this, like to your point, that there's a lot of snake oil salesmen who will go out and try to take advantage of tribal communities and the different jurisdictional issues and the lack of law enforcement. And so one thing he works on is, they actually have an investigator with him at the Big Sky EDA that he can work with that's got a top secret clearance background. And they will go vet these companies. So if somebody's coming and they're approaching the tribes about doing business or whatever, he's got an investigator who will go do the vetting and the due diligence on these companies to find out if it's some snake oil salesman that's going to rip you off or if this is a legit deal, economic opportunity coming your way. And I think that's so incredible what he's doing.
Oh, it's very important. And also on the flip side, it's bringing jobs to the community. We need to put these young men and women to work and get them preoccupied, get them off the streets, get them off the drugs. If you give them something to do, they will do it. Once you bring, new jobs and stuff, that the community starts growing and flourishing. And that is what is neat. I mean, it's much needed throughout the state.
Well, and before the last break, when you were talking about what are we all going to do, what are the tribes going to do, what are the individual tribal members going to do to combat the drug cartels and combat this this problem, you and I both know Mayor Quincy in Lodgegrass, and that's exactly what he did. He picked up a gun and he picked up a broom, and he started carrying to protect himself and his community, and he picked up a broom and started cleaning up the streets. And he left a very good job in the mining industry to lead his community, and it's having an impact. It had a big impact, and some of your successful investigations when you were head of the DEA continue to this day. In fact, NBC Montana has a story that just published yesterday: Mexican national tied to cartel sentenced for trafficking drugs into Montana. So this all goes back to what has been known as the Spear Siding case, which was that big drug cartel connected investigation near Lodgegrass.
Yes, that was one of my last acts of head of DEA, where we had learned about the overt acts of the alleged members, associates of the cartel that had physically started setting shop on Spear Siding. And they were running between Washington and Spear Siding, but they were also going to all the different reservations and dropping off loads of drugs, and then also taking guns back to Washington. We believe they went southbound. They were bringing the poisons into our community. But the individual that you highlighted, yes, he was a higher part of the cell that was organizing the drugs coming into this area.
Yeah, and I want to play some of the audio here of the Crow Tribal Chairman who testified. Stacy Zinn here testified on Tuesday as well. This was the House Natural Resources Committee, their Oversight and Investigation Subcommittee. And what the title of this hearing was, quote, Examining the Trump Administration's Work Combating Transnational Cartels in Indian Country. Here's part of the opening remarks of Crow Chairman White Clay. He opened up first by saying that the Crow Reservation, like many of the other tribal lands, has become an unwitting corridor for transnational cartels.
National cartels, thanking for your attention to the matter and the administration's attention to this matter. We are here seeking partnership to secure our people and uphold our sovereignty Absalogat people have inhabited the Yellowstone River Valley in south central Montana. Our reservation was established by treaty in 1851. Today, the Crow Reservation spans approximately 2.4 million acres, a little bit bigger than Connecticut. As elected chairman, I represent over 14,000 members, enrolled members. Key priorities include public safety, economic opportunity, while maintaining cultural preservation. The reservation's vast terrain, remote roadways, and sparse law enforcement presence make it an attractive smuggling route for the cartels. Combined with limited economic opportunities, this creates a perfect storm for the predatory behaviors of cartels and organized crime.
All right, yeah, Stacy, to your point, that's exactly what he also talked about, this combined with limited economic opportunities. Mm-hmm. Again, you attack coal. You attack mining. You attack the American energy industry. You're attacking our reservation economies. Agriculture as well was under attack by the last administration.
No, you're absolutely spot on. And that's why I'm glad that the Trump administration is currently highlighting this. Congressman Downing was also in, he came into the latter part of that committee and was able to ask some important questions. And the reason why they do this is in order to hopefully bring in additional resources and start trying to put the, first they got to put the pieces of the puzzle together. They have to understand what is going on. And then what they do from there is trying to figure out, okay, how do we combat this? What do we need to do next? And that's why it's important that we get our leaders. And our leaders are, their leaders have been, I spoke with Senator Daines yesterday and also Congressman Zinke and Senator Sheehy about the importance of this, what we're seeing here in Montana.
Yeah. Hey, I would say too, if you guys want to call in about really any topic under the sun, if you got something you want to talk about, not only is Stacy Zinn the former head of the DEA here in Montana, but she's also recently elected as vice chair of the Montana GOP, and I know a lot of folks were excited to see her get into that position, really to more than anything, to give her the bully pulpit that somebody with her background needs so that these issues are brought to the forefront, and so many other issues as well. Let's go to Marilyn in Lolo. Marilyn, did you have a quick question or comment?
Yeah, hi, good morning. So I have a phone ringing. Never mind. So, Stacy, the other day I was hearing an article, Steve Robinson, he was talking about how the Chinese cartels have infiltrated Maine and Massachusetts and New England. They're buying up land, they're buying up buildings, they're buying up houses, and they are pushing marijuana. And he was talking about the vape, you know, that are Chinese made, and how dangerous the stuff is that they're doing, what they're putting in the weed and stuff. So I've never heard anybody talking about this Maine, you know, in New England. Have you? Probably know about this.
Yeah, hold that thought. Stacy will get to it, because I know I've talked with her about it, but it was several years ago now, I think. So stand by. Great call.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
The calf market was $20 higher this week on the Northern Livestock Video Summertime Classic compared to their sale held back in June. But the heifer market was at least $30 higher from their June sale. Ty Thompson tells us a lot of factors at play in that heifer market.
Heifers would be $30 higher than they were in June on these light calves. The heifer demand is good, and it's the first time that I've seen on these light calves where if there's no replacements kept, even though they're a lighter calf, a lot of people are trying to buy them for replacements. But the interesting thing about that is the feeders are taking the replacement buyers out. 450-pound heifer, near $5 a pound, 500-pound heifer, just a smooth 500-pound heifer, all the way up to 4 1/4. So one string of no brand, 470-pound heifers, they brought 480 a pound.
Sure, and a few more of those heifer prices from this week's sale. The 5 1/2 to 6 1/4 weight heifers priced at $335 to $393. 6 1/2 to 7 weight heifers, $315 up to $3.50. 7 1/2 to 8 1/4 weight heifers, $285 to $344. With the 8 1/2 to 935 weight heifer calves priced at $2.91 to $3.35. Again, an impressive sale for the Northern Livestock Video Auction this week. I'm Lane Nordland.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
They're just farmers. They're just migrant farm workers. Oh, for Pete's sake, there were 360 illegal aliens. It was a marijuana grow operation. They weren't picking strawberries. And how come the adults look like they were just hanging out, having fun, shorts and flip-flops, and the little kids look like they were being human trafficked into doing forced child labor? You guys remember that story out of California? Yeah, this is just the spin job being put out there by the left, by the Democrats, by the media, as they continue to try to keep their criminal illegal aliens in this country. But what about these marijuana grow operations? Okay, that one in California, obviously they hired a bunch of illegal aliens and others. But to Marilyn and Lolo's point, no, Marilyn is spot on. And I'm glad Marilyn called in to talk about the Chinese and these illicit marijuana grow operations. Because, Stacey, you and I talked about this, man, I don't know if it was 2, 3, 4 years ago.
Yes.
And it started in Maine. And because a couple of weeks ago, somebody on X, the Trump administration, I think they just raided one of these illicit Chinese marijuana grow operations, and somebody was all shocked. They're like, hey, I'd never heard about this before. I said, well, we actually talked about it with Stacey Zinn, but I need to get her back on the show to talk about what is now being done about the problem. We talked about the problem before, but now Team Trump is working to combat the problem. So, yeah, your thoughts on what Marilyn had to say about these illicit marijuana grow operations.
Well, you back up to Colorado when marijuana was legalized there. DEA started focusing on the Chinese because they were coming in and buying up $300,000, $400,000, $500,000 homes, gutting them, and they're bringing in pretty much slave labor to grow these crops 3 times a year. They were turning and burning. The monies would leave Denver, leave Colorado, go to the East Coast, poof, it's gone. And then what had happened, DEA highlighted so much and started doing all these investigations, and because of Oklahoma's Indian reservation, state laws, all the conflict that they had down there on the boundaries, the Chinese started shifting down to Oklahoma. From there, they're also highlighting the East Coast going up to Maine and stuff. And then the Hmong that were actually controlling the West Coast, Washington, Oregon area, the Chinese are now slowly taking that over. The cartels control the Southern California grows. So we're having all these foreign influence coming in, making money off our marijuana. I don't even say our marijuana.
Yeah, I know.
But
it's like,
you know
what
how
am
it
I
is.
Saying? Yeah.
But the thing is, though, and those monies are going back to the foreign entities.
Mm-hmm.
So our drug habits, our drug desires are feeding the China's economy because of what we're doing here.
Literally slitting our own throats.
Yes, absolutely.
We are funding the Chinese military expansion against
us. CCP.
With all this stuff. Well, in fact, I think one of the last times that you joined us on the show, I think Greg Franks actually called in and said, hey, because the illicit marijuana operations in some of these other states, they're starting to overtake the legal marijuana operations because they can undercut the legal growers or mm-hmm. distributors. So he raised the question, you know, is there a concern that in Montana that the now fairly recently legalized marijuana operations will eventually be overtaken by the illicit market as well?
I keep my finger on the pulse of California because normally you see whatever's going to happen in California is going to happen here eventually. California, the black market has taken over. You know, the marijuana industry saying the taxes are too high and we need help. And I'm like, no. So with that, what we've seen is that the black market is coming in and actually they're the ones that are making the profit. Meanwhile, big marijuana industry is starting to sink. So they're looking to go into other states so that they can, you know, get their monies back. And Montana's prime. Montana is prime with the vast amount of land that we have. We have lack of law enforcement. It is only a matter of time. And we are hearing whispers that the foreign entities are coming in and starting to search out these areas of what they can get in and get out. Because we have a short growing season, get in, do a massive crop and turn and burn.
Oh, wow. Interesting. All right. Let's go next to Dylan in Lodgegrass. Great guy. In fact, when we were down in Lodgegrass for the radio show and Stacey Zinn joined us, Dylan was there as well. Dylan, thanks for calling in. Always good to hear from you. What's your thoughts?
Good morning, Aaron. Good morning, Stacey.
Good morning.
Hey,
good morning.
This topic is kind of my bread and butter because I'm right down here, you know. Our law enforcement needs a lot of help down here. We have jurisdiction issues, and obviously Casey knows all about that. And I wish that we could just somehow get that just all cleaned up. But then also, it doesn't help when we only have 30-some percent, 30 to 40% maybe turnout of voters, and then those voters continue to vote somebody into anybody into office concerning law enforcement that is not going to do the job or is not the right person for the job. Obviously, this is not proven fact, but it's allegedly. I mean, our current sheriff here in Bighorn County is allegedly not even a resident of the county. I mean, he's tried to make moves to where he doesn't make it look like he's a resident of the county, but he's not. And he still owns a house in Billings and stuff. And obviously this is going through courts and stuff right now, but we got problems where this is, we keep shooting ourselves in the foot over here, and it's not good. You know,
The point being is you need a surge of more law enforcement resource. I mean, that was something that was we were screaming about for the last 4 years. Dylan, great phone call. Great to hear from you. Thanks for all you do. Give our best to everybody down there. Such a great community of folks that have really, you know, picked it up to do what they can, like Mayor Quincy and crew down there. Stacey, your thoughts and then talk about, since the focus of that hearing was the Trump administration's work combating transnational cartels in Indian country. I know, you know, U.S. Attorney Kurt Almy talked about it. The FBI Director Kash Patel talked about surging FBI resources out into Indian country in particular to assist with MMIW cases. But, your thoughts on what Dylan had to say, and then talk about what the Trump administration is doing so far.
Well, Dylan, what I can say is that elections have consequences. And so, you know, going through being a former candidate and dealing with it and seeing behind the scenes, it's time for the voters to actually educate themselves on who they're voting for and why they're voting for a particular person. I'll leave that, then I'll sidestep the rest of it. But going back to what Aaron just said is that the Trump administration is trying to put additional assets, and they're trying to put additional task force groups into or near the reservations. And what this will bring in is more boots on the ground. My fear is, and I talked to some of them behind the scenes in D.C., is that they're going to draw from the pool of agents that are already here in Montana. That's, to me, that's no go, because if you draw a person away from Billings, or, you know, if we send a person from between Billings and Gallatin County, then you have to pull that person up to the reservation. Then you're going to have holes in your area. So they
in
need
Gallatin
to
County. So yeah, your point is like
down.
Gallatin County is a mess right now. I mean, the most illegal aliens in the state are in Gallatin County, is what the governor's hearing from federal law enforcement. So yeah, so if you, okay, hey, we want to surge into Indian country, but then we pull from Gallatin County, well, then you make the problem even worse in Gallatin County. So you need to surge resources in, period, not just take from another part of the state that's already, you know, a massive landmass.
Well, I'm tired of people saying, oh, just Montana. It's just Montana. Just because we have a population of approximately 1.3, 1.4 million here doesn't mean we do not count. We need more bodies from D.C. D.C. needs to start going, okay, you know what? Montana is very, you know, that recent election between Sheehy and Tester, that was very important. So we do count. So then we need to get the assets out here in order to stabilize the situation.
And this is also why when we see these stupid No Kings rallies and stuff, these people, you are the ones that are providing cover fire for the cartels that are targeting Native American women. I know you think, oh, we're having fun, we hate Trump, oh, look at our stupid little signs. You are providing cover fire for the Mexican drug cartels and the Tren de Aragua thugs that are targeting people in this state with your stupid little No Kings rallies. Oh, don't deport the illegals, due process. They're getting due process. This is the process. You're being processed back to where you came from or being criminally charged. Can I get an amen on that one?
Oh, amen, amen, absolutely. I mean, the Democrats have been marching through the state, and they're starting to have these different town halls and stuff and saying, look, your politicians are not here. They're not addressing the community. No, your politicians right now are back in D.C. doing their darndest to come up with bills that are going to impact the community in a positive manner. So the Democrats or the far left are coming through the state of Montana, going up to the different communities, preying on the people that are not educated or not, I shouldn't say not educated, but they're not educated in the fact of what these dark money, what they're doing.
Fighting to keep the criminal illegal aliens in this state, to keep them targeting Native Americans, fighting against the men and women of ICE who are working to defend this country, fighting against the men and women of the Border Patrol, aiding and abetting, or I think they've been called useful idiots in the past as well. All right, hey, we got to take another quick break here, and then we'll get to more callers on the phone lines. Nancy in Roundup, very looking forward to a question that she has for Stacey Zinn here, because Nancy's been following this this whole border fiasco since day one. And then we've got Arnie in Boyd as well, plus we've got phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on the Montana Talks app. Back with Stacey Zinn, former head of the Montana DEA, plus the DEA in Montana, not the Montana DEA. Yeah, back after this.
Your News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL, your home for Fox News, Hannity, and Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into the phone lines here. Nancy in Roundup. Yeah, do you have a quick question or comment for Stacey Zinn here? Great to hear from you.
Well, a quick comment and also a question. Okay, regarding the Chinese land sales, any foreign investors, Trump has a plan on the table right now, and the details are not well known. It hasn't been drawn up yet, but he's going to confiscate all the property, the land that China has bought, and other foreign investors that are abusing it and using it for misconduct, and we do not have to reimburse them for their purchase. I talked to Attorney General Austin Knutson about this last week. So that's on the drawing board. And I just want to say about the reservations, I believe that the attitude of the people, the residents on the reservation, is part of the problem. As an example, on the Sioux Reservation, the chief banned Governor Kristi Noem from coming onto the reservation because she wanted to do something about the Mexican cartel issue there. Okay, when you've got an attitude like this, people are reluctant to help these people. I mean, I agree they have to help themselves, but they're going to have to lower, the aggression that they have against what happened, in the 18th and 19th century. They're going to have to let agents in there and grow up and move ahead.
Well,
each
reservation is, of course, different. Yes. But to the point of intelligence sharing, I've heard that from law enforcement a lot. It's like, hey, look, I get it when outside law enforcement comes to town, people are a little suspect and maybe hesitant to share information, but you've got to share information. If you care about missing and murdered indigenous women, if you care about people that are being targeted by the drug cartels, you've got to open up and share that intelligence with law enforcement.
Absolutely. And there are some women out there, I'm not going to name them, that are very active in the Native American community, and whether they work here in Billings or they're elsewhere, they are doing their due diligence of sharing information and actually being proactive. I've seen some strong women from the Native American community that are saying, no, we're done with this. And they are actually taking they're actually taking a stance on it, and they're sharing information with law enforcement, or they'll call me up. And this is one thing that, with me not being in law enforcement anymore, I'm getting more information of, hey, you may want to look at this. And what I do is I vet that information and try to divvy it out to the different fractions of the law enforcement who I think would better serve that community. So I am very hopeful that these women, because I keep saying women because I want to applaud them and cheer them, because they're saying no more. We're stepping up.
Grandmas and moms.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yep,
yes. Yes.
Yep, no. Exactly. All right. Let's go to Arnie in Boyd. Arnie, thanks for the call. What's your thoughts?
Good morning. First thing I want to do is say hello to Mike and Shepard. He listens to you, too. He just told me the other day.
Hey, very but cool. Anyway,
yeah, but anyway, Nancy's right there. The Indians have got to take responsibility for what's going on here. They want us to do it, but what's going on in that reservation is horrible. There's, you know, they when if you ever go to one of their funerals where them kids, like in Lodgegrass, got killed, the preacher got up there and says that they weren't the drug dealers. They weren't doing that. Oh, yeah, they were. See, they won't admit to the truth of what was going on. They say, oh, they're basketball players. They're runners. No, they were dealing drugs, and that's why they got killed there. And it's a sad deal, but it's not us out here that are working over them young girls. It's right inside their reservation. They need to take responsibility for that. Thank you.
All right, Arnie, thanks for the call. Well, and Stacey, we've seen some incredible leaders like Mayor Quincy and others who are stepping up.
Yes.
To that point.
Yes, and, you know, he brings up some interesting comments, and it's kind of a well-kept secret of some of the behind-the-scenes things that are taking place. And that's where we have to be sensitive, and we need to start saying, hey, you know, yes, you may have a family member that's in this or in the trade, or you may have a family member doing something, and it hurts, but you call a spade. You call that pink elephant a pink elephant. Once you start doing that, and once you start giving some of these people protections to do that, you'll start seeing things turn around. You know, I've had distant family members that have been killed down in Mexico that were believed to be linked to the cartel. And it's something like, you know, it can be harmful and helpful. I mean, harmful and hurtful. But if I can share that story and tell people, this is what happened. It happened in my family. Then more people will step up and go, you know what? I have an uncle, I have a niece, I have a grandmother that is maybe not having the family's best interest at heart.
Wasn't it also interesting that big marijuana grow operation that had 360 illegal aliens, including trafficked kids likely working for it? Big donor to the Democrat Party. Wow, that's not a big surprise, is it?
No, and it's shameful. That's when you peel back the onion. You follow the money, you're going to see who's behind the scenes. The marijuana stuff is all big money. Doesn't matter if you're Republican or you're Democrat. The kids that are trafficked and now working as slave laborers, shame on us for not doing more. And we have to start spotlighting that, and we need to start saving these kids.
On a lighter note, when Nancy was talking about, you know, them going in and seizing the Chinese-owned land, I hope some of us get a shot at that land for us to own it. I want to be like Tom Cruise in Far and Away, riding out on horseback with my white flag to plant in the ground, my little homestead.
I can see you doing that.
Little hunting ground, you know, maybe start my own little herd, you know, use my cool cowboy cousins to, you know, help me grow it, you know. Stacy's in. Thanks for all you do. Great to have you.
Thank you.